Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It is 3-3-2022. And out of Ezekiel 38, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed all sorts of armor, even a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind that thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Sounds like America. To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places out west that are now inhabited, upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I've told you about all of these things in the past. We've talked to you about how Obama hired Russian Spetsnaz and put him under the charge of good old base public relations officer Wendy L. Schneider at Fort Carson, Colorado, who just loved and wanted to take him to see the baseball game. And many of those are still under the pay, allegedly under the pay of the ultra-black budgets, all right? And, you know, we've heard many of them over the years. But anyway, Brother Quayle and I have always talked about this, and now we're starting to see it. Well, let me just say this. Here's what I know happened in the past few days. I've talked to you since Thanksgiving about Russian communications and how they use different things. I've talked to you about how they allegedly brought in, perhaps many submarines on the back of yachts and freighters and that kind of stuff down the St. Lawrence Seaway, putting them into the waters. And I've talked to you about how they then match up with some of the people who have been hiding since Obama brought them in, the Spetsnaz Plus, older GRU illegals, what they called illegals in those days, people who snuck in and had a thing. Now you're on the third generation of the Russian GRU, Russian KGB. Sneakies. People have been here for three generations now, GRU or KGB, who have businesses, sent their kids to Ivy League schools, the whole nine yards. Still here, and they're still in the game. But anyway, all the people I've talked to you about over the years, we've had reports of in fish camps and in hotels along Lake Michigan and Long Lake Erie and the different places. The old motels with the 1950s look, and they'll say under construction, but the hotel's filled, or no vacancy. They just keep saying no vacancy. Yet there's a whole lot of new pickup trucks out there. And all of the different things in the fish camps and the hunting camps in the Upper Peninsula and in Minnesota and, you know, Upper Peninsula, Michigan, up in Wisconsin, all over the place. And also down into the Uwari Mountains, not far from, Pinehurst, you know, the golf course. And also Fort Bragg. So, ladies and gentlemen, you also have them in various places. I told you about the ones the Russians were living off of Coronado Island. Have new bag, old new pick-em-up trucks, all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is we got Russian and Red Chinese saboteurs inside the United States, and they've been in here operating for quite some time. Well, just the other day, just to let you know, there was an incident. And the incident was something going on. It's probably south of Tucson, okay? And this was a few days ago, south of Tucson. And all of a sudden, we saw... Actually, I should back up. But I'll just go ahead and tell you this, then I'll go and do the previous thing to this. And... south of Tucson area, we saw all of a sudden A-10 Warthog going down in there. We saw helicopters. We saw all kind of stuff right along the border. And then they were running, from San Diego all the way across in Arizona and from Texas all the way in Arizona. And then a P-8 came in and went along the border, P-8 Poseidon, with the good sensors and ability to detect what? Nuclear weapons, precisely, okay? Buckets of sunshine, little suitcases of sun, all the kind of stuff, all right, that might be smuggled in around a southern border, which your president says, oh, our border guys should go over there and police the border there in Poland and Ukraine, all right? Traitorous. So anyway, south down in there, and then also two smaller transports, the type of transport that might carry, 12 and 12, or 20 or 24 or whatever. Two sticks, two A teams, two SEAL teams, whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? Units that are there for X, there to jump out the back of the plane or to line and land and pop out quick, but I think to just go off the back of the plane on a low altitude jump. To look for what? They're down there. It's not a drill. Too much money. Air tankers up. Okay. All kind of stuff. Multiple helos. This is down there, you know, probably not that far from Fort Wayne. Pachuca, okay? That area, but somewhere in the southern desert of Arizona, coming across the line, allegedly, there was probably, most likely, allegedly, bucket of sunshine or a suitcase full of sunshine coming across, and my bet would be either Russian or Red Chinese commando, okay? Russian Spetsnaz were already in the United States. But could have been in receipt of something being smuggled. This was not a roust or a drill, or this was not a going after a fentanyl or a human smuggler deal. No! They just let the people in. The human smugglers don't really have to do jack doodly. They just walk them up. They walk across. They sign them up. And they ship them to Westchester, New York, you know? Or to Nashville, or Atlanta, or wherever they, you know, or Milwaukee, wherever they're going to ship them. And they get credit cards and money and free food and all the kind of stuff. So it isn't that. This is somebody coming in. Now, previous to this, on the West Coast, there had been an E-6 that had been over the center of the United States like a command and control type plane, all right? An airborne command of the battlefield. Well, there is a battlefield, there is an airborne command, all right? And when you got a guy that, let's just say nicely, is prone, a president that's prone to crap his pants real quick a lot of times, and then he has to get involved in taking another shower and changing them all up and all of that. If you don't think so, he didn't have time to take a shower, but at that G20 meeting, remember when they had him all the way down at the end of the line? And normally the president sits in the front of the line in the center somewhere, the president of the United States. They had him down there because it was not, it was the wrong kind of good, it wasn't a good smell, if you know what I'm saying. So this case, you gotta have airborne command up who have the authority to make a decision, okay? So what we had was, on the West Coast, we had somebody, and this is, I'm gonna say probably, or most likely, or allegedly, let's just say allegedly. It's all satire anyway, isn't it? But no, it isn't. But it is, or isn't it? I don't know. But allegedly, or most probably, or likely, that we had a U.S. sub, a hunter killer, sitting down low and quiet, all right, looking for the Ruski subs to come in, or the Red Chinese sub to come in. And somebody saw something out about 100 to 150 miles, apparently, saw something out there that looked provocative. It was probably, let's just say it might have been a Russian sub, and or it might have been a Russian missile cruiser, but let's say it's a sub, and you got Comrade A and Comrade B over there. You got Boris and Natasha in the submarine, and they say, oh, maybe we should check our doors to see if the missile launch doors open, okay? I'm being facetious, but, oh, we did not put WD-40 on them last time we do a ship program, you know? So somebody did something provocatively, and apparently the U.S. submarine was able to get back to somebody, maybe at San Diego or what have you, through some ability or to somebody there, undetected, and then request that the command, the airborne command, come out on site or to come out closer so that they could then give them a decision whether to shoot or not shoot and blow this Russian or Chinese out of the water. In case it got frisky with the doors again or torpedo tubes. See, they got the torpedoes that can run up the supersonic torpedoes. Wow. And they can put on those. They got another torpedo that can come up and then blow and make a giant tsunami and take out, you know, Southern California, let's say. With a giant tsunami and nuclear blast, okay? So you might want to blow the thing out of the water before they shoot them, if they're going to shoot something. So anyway, the E-6 that was in the middle of the country over Nebraska or Kansas or Oklahoma, wherever it was at, all right, it was somewhere in the middle, and it beelined in between L.A. and San Diego, and about 100 miles, let's say 150 miles off of San Clemente, it went out there. Now here's the problem. When it went out there, all of a sudden it was at 42,000 feet approximately, because I know somebody that watched the entire thing. Not me, but somebody much better than me, I'll tell you what. Who knows about all of this and signal intelligence and reads the comms and knows all of this stuff, what's going on all over the world. And then has friends that do the same thing. Okay? All over the world. But here's what happened. Allegedly, the E-6 started to fall erratically, like in an erratic drop of altitude, massive drop of altitude, and came down to about 2,200 feet or 2,000 feet erratically, and it turned quickly or somehow and started going back to land because it didn't want to crash land in the water. Didn't want to go into Davy Jones's locker. So then it humped and bumped and jerked and leaped and and all this stuff. Got up over the coast, and then somebody actually took a video of it. Allegedly took a video of it with their camera phone, and then it went east into the desert, somewhere into the desert, probably between San Diego and L.A., but into the desert, okay, to the east of that. And then it crashed, and you can see the explosion and the fire. Well, this is one of your command and control aircraft that was out to give an on-the-site answer in case a U.S. sub was going to blow something out of the water, perhaps. Perhaps. Allegedly. Maybe so. Likely. Most likely. Long-time listeners understand why I do that, because I'll tell you something. Nobody's telling you anything. So now, we questioned this, and we thought about all of it, and what it could be, and all the different things, and that's kind of what we came up with based on some other stuff. Because immediately after that, and then incidentally after it crashed, it was all stations were trying to communicate. Everybody and their dog on the West Coast and all over was saying, do you read? Can you come in? Do you read? You know, such and such, such and such, you know. We don't know who it was, Boxcar, whoever it might have been. I don't know. I don't know what they called themselves that day. But they never came back in. Now, the very next day, we get in a scenario where they, prior to that, they put up another E6. But then it did not go out over the sea. It went up and down the U.S. coastline and zigzagged like more like a serpentine motion. All right. So what happened to the E6 out over the sea? All right. I would say about 98% is that the Russians zapped it with their pulse weapon that took out their avionics, just like they did to the USS Donald Cook in the Black Sea, just like they did to other three or four Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. Messed with them all when they ran into out in various oceans. Remember that? Or like the two helicopters, the Apaches or Little Birds off, I forget which they were. I think maybe they were Apaches, off of Eglin Air Force Base at Navarre Beach, where they ran into a green electronic fog. The one powered out and was able to get away. The other went into the fog and it just turned up all the avionics and it hit the drink real hard and killed people, you know? But this stuff is not on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, you know? You don't see it in this or that or the other. Why? Because it's war. It's an ongoing war that's been going on for some time. We are at war, okay? Now, this E6, we really confirmed that it happened when the very next morning, I think it was this past Monday morning, I'll tell you, I've been up and down and taking short naps and stuff and for, you know, quite some time now. Instead of sleeping at ice 8 hours, you know. But the next morning we saw not one, but two stories about planes that ran into another plane, bumped into one and then wrecked in the desert somewhere, all right, and wrecked in the desert in Arizona on the one story. And then the other story was, which the one in Arizona, you would not have been able to see it from the coastal highway or the L.A. San Diego freeway. And then the other story was up way farther away from what it was. It was up at Edwards Air Force Base where a tanker collided with an F-22, okay? So when we saw the two stories, we knew that those were cover stories, but somebody screwed the pooch, so to speak, and put out two separate stories that were similar to cover the deal up, but they should have just put out one. because that was the telltale. Now, so then we go into the incident south of Tucson. But let's go back to that night that that thing allegedly crashed in the desert, in between L.A., San Diego, and the desert, an E-6. Pretty important plane, you see. Then they put up another one. You got a command and control on the West Coast. Then there was one closer to the East Coast. Now, herein lies the rub that's interesting. Apparently, there was a similar incident, maybe 100 miles off the coast of, Delaware or Maryland East, you know, out in the Atlantic, and that a sub or something was out there, and that maybe they needed to look into the E-6, started to venture out, but when the West Coast crash happened, that E-6 that was already partially way out into over the water, going out to look at that other one, it turned tail and came back and landed at Andrews Air Force Base. Joint Base Andrews. Landed at the Andrews, okay? And nothing happened and went out there. So I'm telling you, we've got Russian subs off the coast. We've had them off the coast for years. We've had Red Chinese subs off the coast for years. East Coast, West Coast, Gulf Coast, Arctic Circle, and now also Great Lakes with small mini subs, okay, or drone subs perhaps. So the Russians are inside the United States, all right, ready to blow it up. The Tennessee Valley boys, remember the one we had up there in Sevier County by Dollywood? You had there in North Carolina the explosion at the fertilizer plant in Winston-Salem. And then the boys that may have done that were seen up in the mountains, maybe up at 321 or something up in there, or maybe closer over to Asheville or something. I don't know where exactly, but up in the old mountains up there, they were seen in a Chinese restaurant. And they had the flannel shirts and the ball caps, and they looked like good old boys. They was talking like good old boys until they whispered, and then they started whispering in Russian, which somebody knew Russian and understood it. Their boots was dirty and all the stuff, but it was actually probably up 321 from the, going up toward Grandfather Mountain from Winston-Salem. So, that right there could have been the Russians. And yes, they don't wear those peaked hats or the weirdo stuff. The good ones, the ones that have been here a while, they've trained up. They got them speaking hillbilly English now. They got them speaking mountain jack English. They have them speaking Kansas or Nebraska, non-accented English, okay? And the ones that are probably up in Maine or Boston sound like Maine maniacs or your cousin from Boston, you know. They're more sophisticated than they were in the 50s, and that's where we sort of, 50s and 60s, get our view of that from movies, all right? So, here we go, right? You got two E-6s in an instant. Well, then the next day you start getting into stuff. And when they were talking about the South of Tucson business, all of a sudden they started going to, a different type of format radio-wise. They then started adding authenticator codes in. Sophisticated authenticator codes. And there's always a prefix and a suffix, you know, to those. And there is some that still know some of that but didn't get the internal message because it's encrypted and they're not trying to read the encrypted message. But there are things that you deal with on communications, you can understand a lot from the communications, whether you can read the message or not. Well, fact is, they started using authenticator codes to make sure that everybody had to prove they were who they said they were when they contacted somebody with the radio. So then that opens up some possibilities too, doesn't it? Does it open up the possibility where it's possible that just like in some of the big cities, the police, 911, gets a phone call from a phone booth. They're killing people over here. Then they hear gunshots in the background. They're killed. Oh, they just killed a mother and a child sitting here by this phone booth. I got to go. Bang. Then the cops show up running like you. Wild and everything, and then laying in ambush is the goofballs from some street gang, and then they shoot at the police. Or they do that to get them to go somewhere else, so then the robber boys go and rob someplace or hit a bank or, you know, whatever it might be. Get the police out of the way. So the authenticator code, going to real strict authenticator code and proper radio protocol in time of war, you see, they then added some things on. But in the suffix, the prefix and the suffix at the end of the string, they put in the old radio man code, you see, that in the old days, back in the good old days, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, that just so the radio man would make sure that he knew there would be one or two characters or two or three characters at the end of a string that might indicate that this is, this is the real deal. No, you know what, Sherlock, you know what I'm saying? Like this is, you better get this one to the captain or get this one to the general, or get this one to the colonel, or whoever, real quick, because it's important. Because they put the characters, the last two characters in the string, essentially, it was slang, but it indicated going to battle stations. That was the same day that Red China Joe and Austin and Millie and all the people, don't you know, and the Red Witch, Hacky Sacky, and all of them said, oh, the United States is not doing anything to change our nuclear position or our military positions in spite of what Putin is talking about. He's going to nuke everybody. You got what I'm saying on that now? So, let's see what else we got thinking about here. Then Tuesday, a couple days ago at 7 a.m., and I get an email a little after that with pictures, okay, of what apparently is a missile launch, a missile, not a kid's high school rocket launch, a missile launch from southeastern portion of Nebraska, USA, Nebraska. Southeast of Lincoln, south of Offutt and Omaha, if you know where Beatrice is, it would be northeast of there. And I will tell you what, that is the day that the United States government said, oh, we're not doing any nuclear tests. That would be provocative to Putin. Well, they didn't do a nuclear test, but they allegedly tested a Minuteman III missile. Now, this Minuteman III pops up out of the rural area in southeast Nebraska. Not from Offutt Air Force Base or anything, but a rural area. Probably from an old missile silo or site that's been there and then has been supposedly, quote-unquote, decommissioned. And a number of them have been. Okay. And then they sell luxury condos and deep down in them and all kind of stuff like that. But some still have missiles in them. All right. or they could have been retrofitted for quick and put a new one in it too. But I think it's just one of the ones. And you know why they want to find out? They want to see if any of the old ones still work. Our government and our military may not know whether our Minuteman 3s even work. Because they've been cutting the budget since end of Bush and beginning of Obama, all right? So here we got hooks in the jaws, pulling Putin forward. I mean like hooks, big fish hooks, pulling him forward, all right? And even the pictures they're showing him, his jowls or cheeks almost look like they're puffy and got redness where he's had hooks in him. And they're making sure that he's got nowhere else to go. They've got him cornered. They got everything, all the sanctions, all the bad stuff on him. And I'm no fan of Putin. I do not care for Putin. All right? I don't care particularly for the Russians at all either. I'm not opposed to Russian people, but I don't care for the Soviet Union types. All right? Because they want to come and destroy the United States, take it over. They want to take all of Europe. So anyway, up comes a picture, and it's like in that sunrisey, real nice, bright sunrisey, clear as a bell picture of a Minuteman III launch. And so that flies in the face. But up in the sky also, there is at the top of the picture, there is a track, like a chemtrail or a jet trail or a contrail or something, maybe of a missile. And it's going east to west. And this is fired up maybe like it was supposed to chase that and hit it. Now, there are missiles that are hypersonics. I was talking to Brother Quayle about these in the last day or two. All right. And they're so fast, so powerful, they put a like a plasma cushion around the outside of themselves that they're running so fast they go basically at a speed that will get you out of the Earth's orbit. Exit speed, okay? They may say it's a little bit less than that, but they got exit speed. So those things can be at the top of our atmosphere or in low Earth orbit, just like the Chinese did. They can be having them going around the globe or over the U.S., and then any minute they can give it the command and drop it down and smack on anything they want in less than a minute from up in the sky. In some cases, depending on how low it, they bring it down maybe in 10, 15 seconds and can take out just by the speed of the missile or the craft itself. It will have the force of a nuclear weapon almost just in the after the wake of it. And it will destroy buildings and kill people. If it then explodes, then you've got massive nuclear explosion. So anyway, I don't know if that was going over. They call it a Reaper, a Russian Reaper kind of a thing. There's different names for it, but it's like all the stuff. There's a NATO name and a U.S. name and a Russian name and all that kind of stuff. But you can look it up. Let me see if I've got still, I don't know if I've got that sitting right here where I could pop it up or not. Let's see. Let me see if I've got it right here. Nope, I don't have it real quick right now, but I mean, you can look up this kind of a thing. It's just incredible. Oh, let's see. Maybe I still know. I don't have it. Anyway, rather than delay the thing here. So a Minuteman III, but you want to know what? Oh, you can go to stevequayle.com because this picture was sent to me and Brother Quail. It's long-term listeners to both of us. Long-term listener to both of us. Steve Quail and Old Hawk. And you can go up to stevequail.com. Many of you are kind of there, and you maybe can look at it at the picture of the day or photo of the day section of Brother Steve Quail. And that was Tuesday, 7 a.m., southeastern Nebraska. That's a definite Minuteman III launch. And that's with 98-99% certainty, because I'm going to tell you, you can also look up generic pictures of the Minuteman III missiles, and you can find launches that are pictures or even like video-type things of them launching in various places for tests, and it has similar characteristics, it has similar size, height, everything. That's a Minuteman III. So the U.S. is a bit more worried about nuclear war than what you think. And all the hairspray heads, male and female and trans, and LGBTQ547329s, and Luciferian hedgehogs, all the ones on TV, they're just keeping going and going. Well, we got to do the no-fly zone and all this and that and the other. And I'm going to tell you what, that thing does look perfectly, that convoy and in Ukraine, that's tailor-made for an A-10 Warthog. But instead, we got an A-10 Warthog that was up today, you see. Came out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, going west towards the lakes. What's it doing? It's looking for Russian targets. The enemy is inside the wire, you see. Already inside the wire. Now, just in thinking about that, let me say another prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we prayed for Staff Sergeant Bruce, squad leader of 3rd Squad of the 1st Platoon, okay? We don't give the whole unit number and all of that because that would identify Staff Sergeant Bruce. But Lord Jesus, you know who he is because you answered our prayer. You already answered our prayer, and Staff Sergeant Bruce started to come alive, and you removed whatever it is from him, and his ulcers, and the you removed the ulcers and the pneumonia, and now he's been moved from the hospital where they expected him to die. People were saying he was on his last legs. And he put his fatigue jacket on. Staff Sergeant Bruce put his fatigue jacket on because he's the squad leader. And he's been taken closer to his home to a rehab facility so he can rehab his walking. He had been down for so long, he could hardly walk. But I'm going to tell you what, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. And now he's rehabbing his walking. And now he feels good and is hungry as heck and was tired of all that food and wants a cheeseburger. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And don't you ever forget it. You want to know how to meet Jesus or how he'll manifest himself to you or the promise he's given to you. There's a lot of them he's given to you. But in John 14, go to John 14. You read it right up there through the whole deal. Read it to your family tonight. Emphasize the parts you know that are quite interesting. And if you pray in his name, he says he'll do it. His name is Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. I call him Lord Jesus because that's what he is. Lord Jesus, thank you once again. And also, will you give him a prayer now? Lord, will you touch him right now at this very time while Staff Sergeant Bruce is in the rehab hospital? Will you put strength in his legs and in his sinews? Will you give him the good flex in his ankles and his knees and proof him up? Will you get him the good food? Will you protect him against all evil and the other in the rehab facility from anybody who might do him harm? And Lord Jesus, will you get him up and walking sufficiently to where he can go home and go back to the world and go back to his home. And then, Lord, he'll know that you did it, and he'll be ready to stand up and fill in the gap for 3rd Squad, 1st Platoon, and he'll be in the gap against any evil that you want him to be. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are magnificent, my Lord, and you have sure brought me out of the fire, and with your Archangel Michael testing me and asking me, are you afraid? Through my mind, I said, no. Man, I don't know if I would have done it again, but here I am, imperfect vessel. But like Brother Quayle said, man, it don't mean anything how imperfect the vessel. It's what the power of the Lord Jesus that blows through the vessel that gives you the stuff, the good stuff, the things to do, and removes your fear if you haven't repented of your sins. Get down on your knees, repent of your sins to Lord Jesus, and then ask him to come into your heart to be your Savior. It's the best deal in town. You're backslid. You got so many faces on you, you can't sleep for the last 100 days. You got so many faces. You got so many things. All the bad stuff you think you've done, the Lord Jesus wants to know you. He wants for you to tell him to come into your heart to be his, so he can be your Savior. And wash your sins away. Wash that away with his blood. Oh, wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. You want to keep old Hawk in the air, and I hope you do, ladies and gentlemen. Anything is most welcome, most needed, most welcome. So I can prepare and so I can stay on as long as I possibly can. It's by our Father in heaven and his Son, Lord Jesus' grace, and with the help of you that I'm still here, going on 18 years. It seems like 6 months ago. And talking with Brother Quayle, we were talking the other night. Steve says, you know, Hawks, we've been on a long time. Steve, much longer even than me. But I listened to Steve, and Steve was the one that made it okay for me to come back to Lord Jesus. By listening to Steve Quayle. And here I am. Almost 18 years later. And he'd put me on the air. Anything's most needed, welcome. Be sent to Hawk. 3965 West 83rd Street. Number 356. Prairie Village, Kansas. 66208, Hawk, 3965, West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. It can be Federal Reserve notes, it can be a little gold, a little silver, whatever it might be, or a check. Hawk, H-A-W-K. And for all those, may the Lord Jesus bless you 10,000-fold who do sin. God bless North Dallas. And yes, in the name of Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you, everybody out there. And I'm going to tell you what. If you need gold, or if you need silver, and you need it quick, or if you need books, and the movie like Mega Drought and the things that will help your family or your church, you could buy it for your church. You could buy it for your church to put in their library. You could put it in the library, in the local library. You can give it to your friends down the block or your neighbors or your children, grandchildren. Steve Quayle's information is just incredible. Mega Drought, one of the best movies he ever done. Premise of the Promise. Xenogenesis, all the different books, Terminated, The End of Man is Here, Steve Quayle, his Giants book. You want to get your children interested in that and also give them a message that Steve has in there about Lord Jesus and how the Giants are out of Genesis 6 in the Bible. Or maybe you want his Weather Wars. Or his Aliens and Fallen Angels. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that you could get, or Angel Wars, incredible book. Or also, the book that tells it all about Antarctica, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. Incredible book. It's over 500, I think it's, what is it here? 520 pages long. Big format. Incredible. All kind of pictures and stuff in it. SteveQuayle.com or go to 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840. You tell him Old Hawk sent you. He also can get you high quality, top of the line, night vision. He can get you excellent quality, brand new, excellent quality radiation detection equipment. All kind of stuff Steve can hook you up with. And if you're interested in something, ask him if they've got some of it. But I'm going to tell you, the gold and silver, he's got it on the hoof. He can get it to you as quick as possible. And there ain't that much time left. Brother Quinn and I were talking the other night. Is that man, he says, Hawk, you know, we've been on a long time, but this thing is getting very close. You never know. Won't be too long, he said, you and I might be in heaven with Lord Jesus. I said, yes, I know. But while we still have the time, while the Lord is, while we still have breath in us, while we still got fighting, where we know Lord Jesus with us, and he knows that we're with him, then we stand up against evil. Yes, get your family to a true sanctuary if possible. Provide for them. But you need to start really making sure you are preparing, because I've given you two or three things that indicate the strong possibility of nuclear war. We also have... Lavrov, and also the Russian Foreign Intelligence Officer. Both of them, Lavrov's their equivalent of the State Department. They both are talking about World War III being nuclear war. We had the Red Chinese Foreign Minister or General or whatever go on TV saying that if U.S. ships keep coming through the Taiwan Strait, and then that they should encourage independence of Taiwan, that then the Red Chinese would turn our ships into the scrap heaps of iron laying in the ocean. Well, let me tell you what. You ain't got no ticky for that, Mr. Laundryman. You got no ticky for that. But I will say this. I warned you the other night about a loony balloon. A loony balloon launched by the same one that was allegedly launching the Google loony balloons. Before they allegedly, at the beginning of this past year, turned that over to DARPA in the Dakotas, and it's really DARPA and blah, 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 blah. No, this is the one, and we know the company that launches up there, the off-the-shelf intelligence corporation that does that. But this, the old one, launched it, and then what did we say? I told you it was up over Hawaii. It was looking down from about, 50,000 feet or whatever, 55,000, looking down, and it was right over the shipping lanes of all the U.S. Navy vessels, all the things coming out of Hawaii. And at that place, they were also able to vacuum up all fleet communications, all aircraft communications. Communications from the military bases on the various islands, including the big deal over there in Kauai, right? Remember the movie Snowden? Also the one on Honolulu and the big underground in the cave, you know, out of Diamond Head somewhere. All those things that are out there, and we said that the U.S. military ought to go up and shoot them sucker down. Well, they sent F-22 Raptors up, and the Raptors found out that they were some kind of a weird weather balloon with a platform underneath it, just like we said. And then there was a loud explosion and everything, and people on the ground said, oh, they shot that down. Only thing is, they didn't shoot it down. So any line commander in the Navy, any boat driver, any admiral that's sitting on a flagship, all of your communications, all of your positions, your speed, who you are, what type of vessel, what type of armament, whether you got nuclear armament on your vessel, all of that is being detected by a red Chinese, allegedly, weather balloon up over Hawaiian Islands, looking right down and with line of sight from 50, 60,000 feet, can see all of it. And it's still up there, was still up there today, this morning. So then you got this red Chinese general or foreign minister saying, they're going to blow your ships out of the water and turn them into scrap iron. Well, why are you going along and helping? Did Millie, did Pink Jockstrap Millie, who is the buddy with the red Chinese, the bosom buddy, who he said, oh, we would let you know before we attacked you. We wouldn't come just in the clear blue and attack you, China. I would let you know. That's traitorous bullcrap. Traitorous bullcrap. So the lies are coming out of the pentagram because they worship and work for the father of all lies, Lucifer, all right? The devil. And the devil wants, at his level of the Luciferian chessboard, he wants a world war where billions of people die. And so he can try to steal the souls and generate enough devil power and Luciferian power that he thinks he's going to win against Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven, and that he's going to take over the whole thing. And you know what he tells every one of these top people of all the governments? You're going to be my favorite, he says, to Xi or to Putin or to Macron or to Boris Johnson or to Red China Joe or even Kamala, or whoever it is. He's telling them, you're going to be the one. You'll be the one that will be by my side when we rule the planet. And I come back in it. And what it'll be is going to attempt to counterfeit the return of Lord Jesus as the Messiah. He'll come and he'll have the Antichrist will come and appear after this, quote unquote, Gog Magog war, which is aborting right now, already going. And the Russians are already up in here in the land of unwalled villages to try to take a spoil. And we've been telling you since Thanksgiving to look out for them and report anything you see, particularly along lake fishing camps, that kind of stuff. And all you police, the refinery areas of Texas, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, wherever it might be, even old California, all right, by Boca Chica or wherever it's at out there, where you got a few of the wells that used to be offshore and all that. You'd better be putting extra run-bys on your key things, and you better tell your clientele, or you better tell your friends that run the fertilizer plants, or run the refinery, or run the recycling center, or run the chemical plant, or whatever it is, or the tank farm, or whatever it might be, or the propane gas truck company, or whatever it is, or the power company that's got a key power substation, that if you blow that out, and maybe nine others in the United States, even with conventional means, takes down the grid. But one of those missiles from the Russians, one of them Russian Reapers, can lay waste to the whole bit, pop goes the weasel, the entire power grid in the United States goes down, and nobody will even know who did it because nobody even saw it on the radar. Or if they did, they couldn't identify it. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd better get food, water, get if you don't have a Berkey water filter or something like that that will take out all of the bacteria, the viruses, the different parasites, and also get the one that has like the black Berkey filter in it that will take out about 99.9% of all the chemicals, and then get extra filters, and then get stuff to put water in where you can carry it. 5-gallon jugs, you know, that kind of stuff. If you're staying at home, I've got some larger barrels, but I wished I'd have bought small ones back in the old days. And then you can treat water. There's aerobic 7 and all kind of different oxygenation treatments. You can also treat it with a certain drummer drops of bleach, unscented, like high-quality bleach. Clorox would be a good one, but unscented. But you got to look that up and see for yourself how much to use. But even that, even if you got water down at the fish pond or in the river, you can dip it up. I would strain it through a cloth into another bucket, like an old t-shirt or something. Strain it through a t-shirt and then pour it into the Berkey. And then it will come on down and you will be able to get clean, pure water out the bottom. And then if you do that, you need to store it, get it in canteens or, you know, that kind of stuff, and run it for a while. Make sure that you've got some extra for everybody in your group. And then there are portable filters, too. I also like the Katadyn Combi. The Katadyn Combi. That's a good one I like. There's other pure main filters, but you got to get the ones that will take out the viruses and the bacteria and the parasites and hopefully to take out chemicals. Now, there's all kind of 10 million different things to do, but I'm going to tell you another one. You better get some earplugs. Going to do a lot of shooting at some point in time. So don't go into there Lucifer at night without a fight. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Stand for your property, your bill of rights. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology. You know who the bad guys are. Strike blows against Lucifer. Maybe it's time to hit. Maybe it's time to hit some of the fallen angels out of Anarchy. Yeah. Or keep give them the mission if you need them. Panning Rangers, I know you're ready. Mickey, the fool, Mickey. You're bad at the moment, baby. Stay out there. Rico and Thomas. Train your body, mind, and your spirit. Be emotionally buffered in heaven. Be able to stand and your time to come. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Lord, you protect me, calling, and provide you super abundance in all you need to survive.